Alrighty, folks, welcome to our first Tuesday live with John Willis and Jack Spierko. I'm Nicole Soss. Hopefully you know where we're all from by now because you've come to us through various channels. But if you don't, you can just check out the links in the description. Of course, as we're going today, if you want to keep us on track, put the word question in all caps if you want our attention, or comment in all caps about things you want to hear about. I can guarantee that we are in a subdued mood today. It was a very calm pre-session this morning. So anyway, I'm in my no days off shirt, which is about how I feel, especially doing the AI challenge this week. Learned a lot so far in just a couple of days. Jack, you want to tell people what that's about?
What's that?
The AI challenge.
Oh, the AI challenge. Yeah. Okay. So we're doing this AI challenge with Josh Hale, and he basically just gives us for 28 days, we get a cut and paste prompt to play with ChatGPT and learn a lot about it. So, of course, that sent me straight into Notebook LM, and I'm now all up in its business, even though that's not really what the challenge is about. But that says something about it. I think it's pretty cool. I think the only negative with it is he didn't tell me about it until like 2 days before it started, so I couldn't get more people in with us.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah.
I noticed it because Josh from the Lots Project talked about it, so he got about a week out of my podcast on that one.
Cool.
Yeah. So anyway, so now we're all things AI in the background, but and we might pop some out today. We'll see how that goes. Anyway, last time we met, Trump had not been inaugurated. So we'll go current events first. John, what do you think of the first couple weeks?
Oh, I like everything he's done. He's done in 5 days. He did more than the last administration did in 4 years. I mean, hell, he did in the first 5 days more than he did in the last administration. He's moving like he might not get a full term. Like he actually believes that could be a thing, you know?
He's definitely on it.
Yeah. You know, maybe when they shot at him, he was like, maybe I'm not going to live through my term as presidency and I'm just going to go full Monty on this one.
Yeah. Yeah. About the only thing I can say I'm not thrilled with is they're still sending billions to Israel, but If it wasn't him doing it, the other people would just send more. So the rest of it is such a win. It is such a win. And like the biggest win to me is shutting down USAID.
Hell yeah.
Ron Paul's happy about it. If Ron Paul's happy about something, then you know it's a good thing.
Did you hear Elon's, he did a live video with a bunch of senators and congressmen yesterday talking about all the stuff they're finding at USAID.
Yeah, I know they found something like there was like so much money being spent for transgendered musical in Colombia or something like that. Yep. And like, but when you added it up, it was billions of dollars going to all these NGOs all over the world. And this is what, you know, Ron Paul's people say, this is the mechanism of regime change throughout the world. Because they have all these organizations active that are supposedly helping people or whatever. But what they really are is ways the CIA is getting shit done. And for people to get a grasp on how big this is, the budget for USAID is bigger than the State Department and the CIA's budget combined. And it's gone. There is no more. It's gone.
Yep. $75,000 reoccurring monthly for sushi catering in-house. $85,000 for cardboard coffee cups to the building, $75,000 for cinnamon roast Starbucks coffee pods. Now, keep in mind, 90% of the personnel haven't worked within the building in 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. And that's just the money they're spending here for the people that work there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just some of the stuff that stuck in my head. I was thinking, shit, I would like $75,000 a month for coffee pods.
Well, I mean, I bet they have a few extra laying around if nobody's in the office.
Yeah, but I would order my coffee pods from Nicole then.
Right? That's right. That's what they're doing.
They're grifting with their grab ass people. So,
yep.
And just for people like, oh, it's the aid department. It actually stands for United States Agency for International Development.
Yep.
Right. So it is a total front for the CIA. I think it was kind of in some ways because JFK is the one that put it in place. And for all of you like, you can't undo it. Yes, you can, because it was done with an EO. It was a JFK EO. And it was probably, just looking at it now, some way for him to try to make peace with the CIA. Like, I'll give you this thing if you leave me alone. Of course, did not.
Yeah, yeah. Let me see how that worked. Yeah, there's a lot of people saying, like, Elon Musk said, Trump said, remove it, take it down. Marco Rubio wants to try to kind of salvage it, maybe use it to the opposite for their advantage, maybe. But there's a lot of people saying, you know, if we just remove that, that just opens the door for China to come in with their Belt and Roads initiatives and, you know, put in infused money into those areas when we leave a vacuum.
Yeah, but what is our vacuum? Not paying for condoms?
Right. $500 million? Right. $500 million for condoms?
Transgendered awareness in South America, or funding the fertilizer for poppy fields for opium in Afghanistan? Like, what exact vacuum are they going to fill? Like, if we were actually doing good shit, that would be different. But when I look at what we're doing, none of it is the things that would actually be beneficial to have our presence there. It all is incredibly disruptive to the governance of those countries.
Yeah, yeah. How about the tariffs to Canada and Mexico?
Yeah. That, you remember that? That lasted, what, a day and a half for Canada and a day for Mexico?
Yeah. She said 10,000 troops to the border to stop migration and drugs. You saw how Trudeau – I thought Trudeau – what's Trudeau doing? I thought he stepped down. I thought he was no longer at the helm any longer.
Somebody has to be put in first, I believe. Like, he is stepping down.
Yeah. Do you see all the memes of him in his – do you see him in his tiger costume?
No.
All those memes going around? Yeah. Well, we'll just tariff you too.
Roar, tariff.
I like how he said that we're going to just not buy alcohol from red states.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. That's more for right. The red states.
I saw a video yesterday of some liquor store owner in Canada taking Tito's vodka off the shelf. You already paid for it.
Right.
You already have it. We're not taking it back.
Yep.
If somebody just ran the video in reverse so it looked like he was putting it back on the shelf, like, an hour later when the agreement came to not do the tariffs.
So there's been a distinct change in marketing approach for some organizations.
Who is this?
Whole part milk, pure organic milk, no methane suppressants, just nature's best from happy cows. That is Bay's Leap Dairy Farm. That came across my ad feed this morning, and I was like, hilarious.
That's awesome. We get milk from Dawn, and I'm like, whole milk, whatever. And the first time I tasted it, I'm like, man, this tastes like milk tasted when I was a kid. And when you look at milk out of the grocery store, it's like gray. It literally tastes like the container smells. It tastes like the plastic container. And when we get milk from Dawn, man, it's completely different. It literally tastes like you just have that flashback of when you were a child. It tastes like it used to taste 30, 40 years ago.
I would say that when you get whole milk today from the grocery store and you pour it a glass and you look at it, it looks like, I remember, 2% non-fat looking, not the color you're talking about, but the thinness.
Yeah.
Like, what have you done with the cream? Where's the cream?
And we were talking about that a couple weeks ago somewhere, and somebody said it's because we used to homogenize it, and now we pasteurize it. Something changed in the last 20 years.
We ultra-pasteurize it. So we used to pasteurize it, which I think is up around 145 to 165 degrees. Now they're ultra-pasteurizing it, which is bringing it way higher, but for a much shorter period of time, and then instantly cooling it. So then you have a shelf life of like a month or two instead of a week. Completely changes the nature of the milk.
It also removes all the healthy benefits of the milk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you noticed when you buy butter, for instance, the difference in the color of the butter when it's grass-fed versus not? Like, the grass-fed is this deep, gorgeous yellow, and the conventional is like this bland, whitish, like yellow, like the tinted color of somebody's teeth that hasn't brushed their teeth in a while or something, but it's not that gorgeous. Like Kerrygold has, or what have you.
Yeah, and to get the healthy benefits of the butter, you want A2 butter, I believe. There's something to those that type of cow that comes from.
Yeah, that actually explains something. So MT Knives says whole milk is 3%, not 20 to 25%, which is true when you get like the milk like you get from Dawn, I get from somebody here. Little. And I skim out that cream for my coffee.
Yep.
And then I am making milk kefir with the rest of it, and you know, on the package, like in the instructions for making milk kefir, they're saying you have to use whole milk or it won't be enough. It's been enough. So I assume I'm still getting that 3% or more in my milk, even though I've skimmed it, because we have a delicious kefir factory going on here. Feeding it to the dogs for their joints and feeding it to the humans for their joints. That's just the way it works.
Yeah. So.
Jack's off on a mission to talk about butter.
No. I got to do something. I realize somebody's here and I owe them something. So I'm going to be right back.
Yeah. Right on. All right.
So how many sheep do you have now?
22.
How many babies did you have?
11. Well, we had 12. We lost one. But yeah, 11. And I have 2 or 3 more ewes who are pregnant on the schedule I meant them to be on because I screwed up. I was like, I know, I'll make my life easier by taking the rams out and then putting the rams back in. Nope, at 3.5 months old, those little buggers got the deal done and created 11 additional little rams and ewes.
Wow.
So I waited that extra 2 weeks to separate, and it's like, oh, they really mean before 3 months.
How many adult rams are you running right now?
I only have one now, but I had 5. We processed 4, and I sold them. I pre-sold this batch, so I'm about half sold out of meat for October at this point.
Nice.
And that's in the range of whatever doesn't sell, we could probably eat anyway. So.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like a feeding frenzy when I was like, in the middle of the births happening, I don't know how many I'm going to have, but I think we'll have 10. So I just put 10 up online, and, you know, we have one little guy who's not going to fill out very well. So, yeah. But it's amazing how fast your flock will grow, John, if you don't get rid of some.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
How many pregnant ones do you have right now?
One pregnant one right now.
Okay.
Have any problems yet?
I have one lamb that is weaned, and then I have another female that is pregnant. She should drop any time. Okay. And then I've got 2 rams. That baby lamb is will be a ram also. So I've got too many boys.
Yeah. And so we need to have a processing day at John's, guys.
We can totally do that.
Yeah. How many do you got?
2 that we can kill off. I got a lamb, a big lamb, and then a ram.
Yeah, that would make a good class.
Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah.
I got a class coming up if you want to learn how to do meat.
Crunchy
what do you got?
Mama Farms.
Yeah, let me pull it up for everybody. We have a class coming up on March, I think it's the 26th, well, 21st to 23rd, and it is going to be pretty cool. It's about an hour north of me at a place called Country Mama Farms, like Nicole said. Now, here's the cool thing, guys. There's going to be 2 teams of 8 students. Each 8 students break down 1 cow, and this is all the way through this. The cow's alive, then the cow's not unalived. Then all of the processing, full beef processing over multiple days, meals cooked, some of the meals from the beef for processing. The rest of the beef goes home with the students. So each student will leave with an average 50-pound cooler full of grass-fed beef from the cow you processed. And on top of that, Chef Ken Daniels is going to be there along with me. I'm kind of there as a guest instructor. I didn't want to take away a student spot for them to sell, so I'm there to help. I'm not taking any product out with me. And Chef Ken's going to be there. He's going to do like guided tastings on like high-end bourbons and stuff. He's going to be doing like additional things for the meals and cool stuff like that. And this guy's like a top high-end chef. So you're going to pay the same price to come to that you would. They do these workshops, you know, multiple times in the spring. Same price as going to any of the other ones, except you get all the extra stuff because we're going to be there. So it's on my site. If you want to know more, you can go to Crunchy Mama Farms. And sign up there. Just make sure you sign up for the right class if you want all the extras.
And if you're confused about which class that is, go to survivalpodcast.com and type in Crunchy Mama Farms and you'll
find
come up with one of the posts. I think you have more than one thing that refers to them. But yeah. Awesome. Okay. Builder of Castles wants to know, how many lambs do you need or want to grow so you have enough lamb to feed you each year? Well, that depends on if I also have cow. So we eat 4 lambs a year right now, but we also eat at my house. We went through 2 cows last year, which seems like a lot, except for we feed all of those things to our students when we do classes here during the spring workshop, as well as other things. So my goal is to feed people as much that's from the farm, from local farms, and from our greater network This year we may actually make it without any commercial additives. So the only issue I have right now is I would like to find potatoes that somebody grew. But other than that, because I didn't grow potatoes last year. So that's, you know, those sorts of things. Sometimes we have to tap into the food system, but that's part of the purpose, is we're showing you how to grow food at these things. In fact, Jack's doing a bioreactor compost pile for us and biochar this year. And then we should at least taste the food and not have a bunch of pre-made stuff from Winco, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever. So I go through more meat than other people. Plus, we mostly eat meat here. So there's that.
Is Dowie Farms John Dowie? Is that John Dowie?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that's right. I'll be at Living Free in Tennessee this spring.
Yeah, tickets launched last weekend. We've got 10 left right now, and I hadn't really put it out to your network yet, Jack, because I was making sure mine had a chance to get them.
But no, I get that.
At this point, we can, you know, do that. It's livingfreeintennessee.com for tickets. It's going to be fun. How dare you? I don't have my...
I actually have you.
I think I was given a Greta from... bags, but I don't know where I put it.
We have her wig inside.
Sweet.
I want to. You have a Greta wig?
We have a Greta wig. Yeah, we do green screen with her every now and then.
I love when people say anything about her, and then people are like, it's just a kid. She was a kid freaking 8 years ago when all this shit started. She's a freaking woman now, and if she wants to run her mouth, she can get slammed over the head like anybody else doing it.
Yeah. Her and David Hogg.
Oh, yeah. Did you see they made him some sort of vice chair at the DNC because they wanted a masculine male role model to attract more young men to the Democratic Party?
Did you see they had to stop in the middle of it because they didn't have enough non-binary candidates there? And they also said that when you're voting, you have to vote for one man and one woman. You can't vote two women or two men. When you pick who you're selecting, they're still doing all the crazy bullshit.
This makes me think, did you see the thing a few years ago with some sort of communist, like legit communist party, like annual meeting, and in their own meeting, they couldn't even get started because of all the point of privilege and shit. And please don't say that. And this trick, and like, you're watching this and you're going, this is like a fucking SNL skit or something, right? No, it was like it was their big meeting and they couldn't have their own people talk without being interrupted by other people who were offended by their own people. It was like, wow. You know, the one good thing about this form of communism we have, they will never take over anything.
I love
they
when
can't
they're
run
like
a fucking meeting. Like, this is not old school, like kill everybody communism. This is like be offended at each other communism.
I'm talking. Yeah. I'm a woman of color talking. I'm talking. My turn. I'm talking.
Point of privilege, don't say woman, because some of the people in here look like women, but they're not women, and I said woman, and I'm sorry. Like, it was that kind of shit.
Wow.
How come nobody, when they were doing the RFK hearings or whatever, right, he got in, right? They selected him, finally, him and Tulsi Gabbard, and I believe Cash. Are they all in?
I haven't heard that. What I heard is they got voted to advance to the full vote. So they got out of committee is what I heard.
When they're like, we're not sure that you're qualified to run HHS. Why didn't somebody just go, what are you talking about? That last idiot that was just in charge of HHS.
Yeah.
Like, that's all you needed to point to.
You had an obese man that thought he was a woman with mental illness that was qualified to be one of the heads of HHS.
Yes.
But a dude that's like 70 years old, that's built like a brick shit house.
Yep.
It works out on Muscle Beach with guys that are 30 years younger than him. He's not qualified to run Health and Human Services.
He'll be in charge of the FDA.
What do you got there?
Well, I wanted you to see this one. University of California sued over alleged racial discrimination in admissions. Guess what kind of discrimination?
Against white people.
And people of Asian descent.
Oh, of course. Yeah, you got to get rid of the, they're privileged too.
Same thing with the air traffic controllers. There's over 1,000 people suing over that.
Yeah. So that was a lot of these. It's been an interest. I don't usually pay much attention to the news, but I will admit I have allocated part of my day to look at it since things have started rolling out because people start asking me questions. But also there is some actual news in the news lately.
Yes. There's also some joy. Remember Kamala promised joy?
Yeah.
Nothing brings me more joy than seeing like entire departments of government vanish overnight into oblivion and just disappear. That is true joy for me.
And the FBI guys, they're out protesting. They got removed from the building, and the Inspector General Fong or whatever her name was, she said, "I'm not leaving. They can't. This is not legal." And then they security showed up, and she ended up leaving.
They perp walked her ass.
Yeah,
like, you know, and people are like, "I can't believe that." Let me tell you something. That occurrence, usually a little bit differently, but it's actually very common. If you're a high-level executive in a company where you have access to, like, critical information and all, and they terminate you, I don't care if they give you 2 weeks as part of your severance. You don't come back in the office.
No.
Security.
The day before you arrive, they've cut off all your access to everything usually.
Yep, changed.
And it's not only when you're terminated. I resigned a position like that, and they're like, okay, and they took everything away from me. And I was, like, completely above board with it. And it was just at this point – you are identified as a risk.
Yep.
And it's like, well, if you don't think I already backed up the customer database, you're not very smart, but whatever.
This is a good one. The left is wrecking themselves, and we just need to stand by and watch.
Yeah.
Out of the way. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I've said that before, but this time I fully mean it. Like, this is the greatest thing in the world. And my favorite thing they're doing is every time they cut something, Schumer and Pocahontas and all start screaming. They're cutting Social Security and Medicaid and Medicare. And right now that's working on the boomer population. Keep doing it. Keep doing it for the next 2 years when they don't ever miss a payment. Keep saying it. And even the most radicalized leftist boomer is going to finally go, no, they're not.
I like all the meltdown of the single moms that they're taking away. I haven't ever seen Trump said that if you pay child support, you get to claim the child. I don't believe that was ever said from anywhere within the White House, but somebody put that out there and it has ran like wildfire, and they are melting down over that. That and all the EBT cards that they haven't missed. No EBT card payments didn't go out, but they are, man, they are just making crazy, crazy videos, just crying and losing their shit over losing their EBT payments.
They're paid shills, most of those people. They don't care. But I didn't hear the thing about the single moms thing.
It was head of household filing is going to be removed as a claim.
But I'm on board with this. If I'm paying child support, why is that child not my dependent? I'm paying for the child.
Isn't it? It was when my parents did that. My dad claimed us.
Yeah.
But we lived with mom and he paid mom, and that's why he did that.
Yeah, but what John just said, it sounds like right now that's not the case. That generally this single mom's getting dad's money and getting the deduction for the kids if the kids reside in her home that dad's paying for.
Yeah, I've not seen Trump ever say this.
I haven't either.
I went looking for it. I've not seen any official say this. I just see them melting down on Instagram and TikTok shorts.
Yeah. I think when you're told something is true by a dude that put cheese on a raw burger, you should probably take a breath before you believe it.
And his guacamole today with his avocado in his hand.
The Corona beer and the avocado have to be one of the most humiliating moments that a politician's ever done to themselves as a photo op. Like, to legitimately think that was a good play.
Art Bailey says, my favorite is the 65-year-old ladies melting down. My favorite is the 55-year-old man dressed as a woman talking about not being able to get an abortion now, and it's part of the his reproductive rights, but he can't have an abortion now because of this administration. It's just absolutely, it's a rite of passage, he said.
Yeah, okay. I don't even understand. There's points where I cease understanding what these people are saying. There's times where I understand what you're saying. I think you're mentally ill, but I understand the point you're attempting to make. There's a point where my mind just goes, no, fuck it. I'm out. My brain's like, fuck you, I quit.
Yeah, we used to have a big building where we housed those people, and it was called an asylum.
Yes, yes. That's what MAG is supposed to mean. Make asylums great again.
Ooh, that's a good one.
You need a shirt.
We need it. We definitely need a patch and sticker.
My designer is in Chicago right now, apparently, with some problems, so you should run with that. Make asylums great again. By the way, I'm wearing this shirt, John, right? This one? Because I'm protesting. I know you bring them, and then they go, I want you to bring this shirt back. I'll buy fucking 10 of them.
We the people.
It's the best looking shirt you've
ever
made.
It's a really good shirt. Mine's worn out, too.
The Constitution like with the emblem on the sleeve.
I like this dark MAGA one. It's Make America Great Again. It says
like
dark MAGA on it. Yeah.
I like the design, the flow of this.
Yeah.
The vertical print, the patch, the back, the whole thing is, it just looks, it looks like a great looking shirt.
Question is, are any left or is that one sold out?
This has been sold out for years.
Yeah.
This is like 2 years ago. I want it back. Tom, get on it, man. Make Asylums great again. Find your dude or get your wife to do the design.
We'll Jack, you guys can run that shirt, man.
Yeah, but we have a dude that does our print on demand that's also a designer, and Tom told me he's like been having some family shit or something.
You just gotta find a backup guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Backup guys are important.
Yeah, just run direct to garment. Just have a guy with a printer.
Okay, is it time for the moment where we share our AI project from this morning?
I think we should.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can read it again.
We can do it again. We already tested John. He was able to do it. So John is famous for his morning get up and do something, you lazy fuck videos that he does sometimes where he's in his gym working out and shit. His gym at his facility is so awesome. I always thought when I first saw your videos that you were like at like fucking Globo Gym or something, right? I thought it was like commercial gym.
And, I was for years.
And he'll say shit like sleep faster. So I asked ChatGPT if they were familiar with John, and ChatGPT said yes, and then explained about, I don't give a fuck. I just want to know if you know. And I gave it an example of one of his videos, and I said, I want you to answer the question, how do you sleep faster as John? And it gave like this really well thought out, deep. And I'm like, no. I want it answered literally in the format of John yelling at you. And this is what it came up with, John. See if you can read it.
All right, so I want to sleep faster. Well, here's what you got to do. Start practicing your sleep like you're a NASCAR driver. Lay down, shut your eyes, and immediately begin visualizing yourself falling asleep at top speed. Don't waste time with winding down. We're on a mission. Get in bed, hit the pillow, and bam, you're out like a light. If you really want to take it to the next level, set an alarm for when you're supposed to fall asleep. That's right. Make sleep a race. You won't, I can't fucking do it. You won't just be sleeping faster. You'll be making every second count. And of course, if it doesn't work, just sleep faster tomorrow. That actually comes from Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Sleep faster?
Yeah. Yeah.
I did not know
like,
that.
But I need 8 hours of sleep. No. You only need 6. Sleep faster.
Was that in that brother's one?
No, it's a motivational. It's a speech
you're
giving.
Yeah, so you got some twins where him and Danny DeVito were supposed to be twins.
Yeah, yeah. No, him and Stallone both have some really good content.
Cool. Yeah. I was all in on Schwarzenegger until Screw Your Freedoms.
Yeah,
It kind of ruined it for me.
Yeah.
Stallone seems back on the isn't he part of Trump's thing to go to
very
California
much so.
And fix shit? Him,
yeah,
what's his name? The older guy. Oh, I can't think. There's like 3 of them. Stallone and 2 others. One, I can't think of his name. He's like in his 90s or some shit.
Chuck Norris?
No. No, he's a guy like that. He wasn't really a fight guy, but he was kind of a tough guy actor. Not Dennis Quaid. Somebody in that realm.
One of the guys from the Dispensables or whatever?
No, he's a different kind of guy. He's a bit older than that group. Like, he's the oldest one. Oh, Gibson is in it. It's Gibson, Stallone, and then this other guy that's like prior to them. Yeah, John Voight. That's who it is.
Trump rolled into Los Angeles, and he's like, these people need on their property tonight. And then she goes, I don't know where they were here in 18 months. And everybody stood up and said, you said 18 months. And and he's like, I want you to give your word right now that they can get in their properties tonight. And I want the water turned back on. And lo and behold, the water was turned back on.
Of course, they're saying it wasn't really turned back on by Trump, that it was just somehow naturally happened or whatever. Like, come on, guys. Like, he got it. Like, really? Really?
I mean, anybody who's helped in a disaster area knows the local dicking around that happens of that. It's a whole political tap into the crisis to get what you want move.
Yeah, he was. But John was talking about, he was telling Karen Bass shit like, you know, I use my emergency powers, use your emergency powers. And she's like, yes. And he goes, no, use your emergency powers. They're very powerful. Do it now. Do it for these people right now. And she's like,
you guys did a terrible job. You did a terrible job.
You're getting pretty good at the trumpet.
Yeah, man, I got a guy here that's really good at it. Yeah, you did a terrible job. We need common sense. You know, like, just use some water. Just use water.
And, you know, we were talking about Schwarzenegger. That goes back to when he was governor of California. I remember him saying, if I could turn the water on, I would. Really?
Yeah, California.
Like, what he was like, turn the water, like literally it was maybe a bigger valve, but like.
Yeah, California was complaining, the higher ups were complaining that because Trump made the water turn back on, it almost flooded them. Yeah, I heard that too. Their shit's burning down. Now they're complaining they have water.
Are the fires? One person said that the water didn't actually go to Los Angeles, it only went to Central California.
Are the fires out or are the fires still going?
I'm not aware.
Also not caught up on that. But when I was there, because I was there for about a week ago now, there were still fires, but they were becoming more and more under control. And it rained while I was there.
That helps.
So that helps, yeah. I mean, your show with that guy about the California fires that just happened to be the best timing ever in the entire history of podcasting, he was really informative from just a balanced perspective why the fires are happening. So I appreciated that a lot.
Everybody thought like I booked him because he was booked 2 months before he was on. There wasn't any fires yet. His expertise came from the park, like the campfire, which is like 3 years ago or something.
So I like that question. Somebody said, how do you think Trump will affect homesteading?
Yeah.
What do you guys think about that?
It depends on what happens with the USDA, how it would affect us. What I'm hoping will happen is some of these guys like Thomas Massie and Joel Salatin get to have an influence, and it looks like they are. And as a result of that, we could have some deregulation or unenforcement of the rules that keep homesteaders from selling their products to other people, which would make a huge improvement. I don't know that the Prime Act will get passed ever, but it doesn't have to be if the agency isn't enforcing the current system, right? So I've been cautiously optimistic on that one. There hasn't been much talk about it as I've been paying attention. And today we're finding out if RFK gets in, right?
Yeah,
well, if you look at stuff like the EPA, right, they started just clubbing these performance shops that were detuning and taking the DEF and shit off of these diesel trucks. They just fired all those guys. There is no more enforcement agent. Like, they do not exist. Every diesel shop out there is standing back up. Every diesel channel out there is making videos. Like, these guys are going in to get inspections done, and they're not even doing inspections in Las Vegas and certain places. Like, they fired these dudes. They are no longer in existence. So that's a great start right there.
I think it could backfire, though, couldn't it? Like, if people really think that the food supply is going to be all cleaned up and everything, that now I don't have to homestead because now the food that I can buy in the store is healthier.
Absolutely.
And I don't think that can happen quickly.
Our entire industry sales are down. There is no urgency right now to buy guns, ammunition, and tactical gear. Nobody cares right now. There is nothing in a hurry right now.
So I didn't do it this year, so I don't know if it happened again. But what it makes me think of is back in 2016 when Trump won the first time, me and a friend of mine went to a gun show, one of the big Texas gun shows between Christmas and New Year's. And there's always a big one at a place called Will Rogers. And I mean, this is like 2 acres under a roof of just guns.
Mm-hmm.
And usually those shows, they're kind of like a party environment. Like, you have to like – it's almost like SHOT Show, but not as big.
Yeah.
Like, you
hot.
Can't get through. You got to fight. You'll pay $8 for a shitty pretzel because you're hungry and you don't want to leave and have to come back in. And we went right after Trump got elected, before he was even sworn in, and it was like a funeral.
Yep.
It was just no sense of urgency. Nobody was selling any guns. Like – it was just a total, like, you could feel it when you walked in. You could feel the energy wasn't there. And I'm afraid that some of this good shit may make people less less willing to do the work you need to do for your own independence, because if it can swing this fast in one direction, it can swing this fast in the other direction. There's that song by Aaron Lewis, and one of the lines in it is to undo all the things he did, and you know he's talking about Trump. There's no reason that can't happen again.
And locally is probably affecting your individual homestead more than anything.
Yep, and there's a ton of Agenda 2030 coming into all these small towns right now.
Yeah, including ours in Tennessee, where we moved to be free. Like, you've seen it in your area, right, John?
Yep, we got it going on right now.
Yeah, everybody thinks Texas is a big old free state, but for food, local is the problem. When I say local, I mean state, county, city, all three together. There's a ton of shit we could be doing in Texas that we're not. There's a ton of lobbying done by into our legislature of people that are completely misrepresentative of who they are, like the Texas Beekeepers Association. It's all big honey. Like, it's all the giant people with 10,000 hives and shit. There's no local beekeepers part of that organization. But our legislators, I think a lot of them in Texas, like the state level legislature, they do mean to do the right thing, but they don't put any effort into knowing who they're talking to. And when they hear from a representative of the Texas Beekeepers Association, whatever, they really think that organization is speaking on behalf of beekeepers of Texas, and they're not. And that's one that I know, because I know so many beekeepers that tell me that's not us. Right. So I wonder how many things like that I don't know about.
Yeah. Talking on the behalf of corn syrup.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
China honey.
China.
I know in my county, which specific 2030 points are being enacted is land use planning and zoning.
That's it. Yep.
We had not had that here for the last 17 years I've lived here, until this year. A rock quarry came in and it pissed people off because they're loud and they shake things and don't take accountability for breaking your house foundation. So then everybody got all up in arms and passed you have to permit to be a quarry. And while that was passed, they could have just kept it at that. Need a permit to be a rock quarry in the area. They slid in, adopting the state zoning codes here. Yep. They were like, we have to do this to do that. No, you don't.
No, you don't.
But they did. And people were all about freedom until a rock quarry came in, and then boom. Yeah, and that wouldn't be as bad if the rock quarry just took responsibility for the nuisance, right?
Then yeah, we had a buddy just put solar in, a pretty good-sized solar project on his home, which is several acres. And zoning had to come out and get up his ass and look at all this. And he had to grid tie so that they can actually get all the overage. And the guy was going on and on about, you can't have battery storage and you can't store this battery. And they're all over that shit. Like, they are really, and the guy's talking has no idea about solar. Doesn't have a clue. He rolled onto the property and he's like, I heard you think you know more than all of us do. And the general contractor said he does know more than all of you do. He's got his mechanical engineering, degree and stuff.
That was my party for RFK is in. We haven't confirmed it, but the comment.
Oh, nice.
Saying, yeah. Nice. That was my.
Nice.
Mine doesn't want to work. Come on, man. Mine won't work. You have to turn. I turned it on though.
You have to just
Mine's broken.
You have to just stay still and not move, Jack.
No, I've done this before. Oh, there it goes.
Yeah. And John apparently.
John can't do it. He doesn't know how it works.
I hope that it's disabled.
It might be disabled.
I keep mine disabled, but you don't use a Mac, do you?
I'm on. Yeah, everything I have is Mac now.
Oh, okay, then you have it. You can turn it on whenever you want. There's a little camera icon up in the top. You can turn reactions on and off. I found out about it when they added it, and I didn't know it, because all of a sudden shit was popping up on my screen when I would randomly do things without thinking about it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck is this?
I can't remember how to get balloons, but I accidentally get balloons all the time.
Isn't there like rain or some shit? There's a bunch of shit you can do, but I don't remember it all. Yeah, you can make it rain. You can make lightning. You can make, supposedly you can make thumbs up bubbles. Oh, did I turn mine off? I turned mine off.
Yeah, you have. So
are they gonna be getting rid of property taxes? You think that's gonna happen? Are we gonna get?
Oh, that would be amazing.
The IRS.
I don't know.
It looks like something is. I mean, we talked about this before. He's making enough changes with the tariffs and all of those things, and it looks like he's dramatically moving to reduce the size of government, to reduce the taxes needed. And then today he established a department, I believe, to run, to basically try to get value, I forget what it was called, but to get value from our own assets to use instead of taxing the people. And all of those moves point towards how can we change the tax code from there. And his promise was to get rid of income tax, so I think he's going to start there.
I like when he said,
I'd rather see property tax go away first, but
for every new regulation, you guys have to remove 10 current regulations.
Yep.
The thing with the property taxes, right? Like the federal government really doesn't have much say on that. That's a
nope. That's local
that's
shit.
A state issue. So I'd like to see the federal government get rid of income tax. But property tariffs, we pay those. I understand we pay those, and I decide what the fuck I buy and if I'm going to buy it and how much I spend. Taxing my productivity and the productivity of the most productive people in this country says you don't want productivity. Punishing a thing gets you less of it, right? We have a perverse incentive here. And you know what rich people do? They buy shit. So this is why it would actually make more money for the government, which I'm not actually for, but it would still get rid of income tax. A rich person is going to do something like build up a real estate portfolio of $1 billion worth of property. They're going to borrow $500,000 a year against that portfolio. It's debt. They have $500,000 in cash flow. They have a huge credit limit. They can buy anything the fuck they want. And you know what they pay for income tax? Zero. And it's not a fucking loophole. It's not income. How insane would it be if we decided that debt was income? When you took a loan, you paid income tax on it? So they're never going to pay tax on that. But if you give that person a tariff situation, when they go buy a fucking yacht that was built in Yemen or something like that, they're going to pay the tariff on it. So it actually would tax wealthier people. Maybe it wouldn't tax wealthier people more as a percentage of their income than poor people right now, because poor people buy the cheapest shit they can get. But it would tax wealthy people at a higher rate than they're currently paying, because one thing wealthy people do is buy shit. I don't know why that's hard to understand.
It's hard to understand.
I heard him
they're
say
like,
that
it's going to destroy us and turn us into hyperinflation. That's what everybody's like spreading out there. And
I heard,
like,
him, I heard him say that just a 10% flat tax, when you buy something, there's a 10% flat tax. They would bring in more money than the IRS brings in right now. You could just completely do away. I also heard somebody say that at 1% tax, at a 1% flat tax, they would bring in more money on a 1% tax than the IRS currently brings in.
I believe that, because GE paid no tax last year again, right? I mean, that's the reality. Like, you have these corporations making billions of dollars paying no tax because we need them to make money, I guess. I don't understand that. Like, and these are corporations, you know, they made money because they pay solid dividends to their shareholders. So that's profit. You should be taxing profit if you're going to tax anything.
Yeah.
What do you think we'll see Bitcoin hit this year?
200 to 250. With a retraction to about where it is right now. When we go into the retraction cycle. Assuming we have a typical growth and retraction cycle, right? Like, if we don't, if it's broken, there is a lot of theory out there that the retraction that we're accustomed to, because basically you have three ups and one down with Bitcoin. That's just – and it's been that way ever since it started. But there is so much more stabilizing money pumped into the system now that even big buys are having a little effect. Like, Michael Saylor alone is announcing buys almost weekly, mm-hmm. that 5 years ago would have jacked the price up 20% in one day just from that much being purchased. And it's not really doing anything anymore. So the volatility seems to be decreasing, which is part of the maturity of an asset. Stock to flow says 500,000. I don't think that happens. We're too far away from it. Like, that's a 5X from where we are. We have a year left to do it. Possible, not probable. But I'd say 220 would be my best guess.
Yep. So it's the sovereign wealth fund. That was the word I couldn't think of earlier.
Yes.
And Lily Farm Food wants to know, what do you guys think about it? I can tell you, I haven't, in concept, it makes sense to make money a different way than taxes if we can, to pay for things that we need to pay for. I don't know enough about the execution because it was just launched this morning to really
have what it is.
It's like rife for abuse as well. It's basically a government it's a government fund that's being set up where they can invest in, you know, bonds or shares of TikTok, for example, to create wealth and then use that, use the profit to pay for stuff, U.S. federal government stuff, basically.
So I guess one of the ways this could work, though, and I haven't reviewed it, as you know, kind of like you said, so I really don't know yet, but I see this as kind of a different holding bucket of money. So you have Doge and these Adderall-fueled Gen Z hackers in there finding all this wasted money right now. They just shut down USAID. That's billions alone. My pattern recognition says, well, maybe all this money being saved is then swept into this sovereign wealth fund, and then Congress is told to go pound sand. Like, they don't get to decide how that money's spent because it was already recouped from appropriated funds. So when, like, there's another hurricane and there's a whole bunch of people fucked, instead of, like, going to the Congress and begging for aid to help our own people, the executive branch at its discretion could just say, here's money, go fix it. Right? I mean, like, that kind of thing, which if we were to be intelligent and use the resources we have, all you really would need to pay for a lot of this shit. Now, I'm not talking about feeding people and all. I'm talking about, like, fixing broken stuff so people can fix their own shit is our military, and all you have to pay for is the materials. And this is what I mean by that. If you are a soldier sitting in Kansas right now at Fort, I guess, Leonard Wood, or if you're in Georgia at Benning, you're paid the same as if you're deployed somewhere. That person costs what they cost already. We have a huge core of engineers, just the Army, not even bringing in the other branches. In 1991, I was in Honduras. We built a 18-mile road in 5 months where all the material had to come in on helicopters. Okay? Like, these guys can get shit done. They're trained. They have the equipment. Imagine if we had just simply said, here's a budget for materials. General, get the fucking guys in there. Fix all the roads. Fix all the culverts. Fix as fast as you can. Get me an action plan and go. And that's what other countries do when they have disasters like this. They take their military assets and they use them to fix shit. This is actually a beneficial thing. Like, well, what's our military for? Well, one of our core of engineers is so when we're in a combat situation, the enemy blows up a bridge, they can replace the fucking thing and get tanks across it. This is training. They're being paid anyway. Put them to work when we have these problems and fix people's lives. This or debris removal. A freaking excavator and dump trucks. This is not something that's beyond what our 20-year-old soldiers can do. Get them deployed, get them doing the work, and they are better skilled at their jobs, and we fix our problems. I don't get why we don't do this.
Because we can't, Jack.
Well, we can now.
We can't. That's why. They just tell us why we can't, and there's always a bureaucratic reason why not. Oh, that money can't be used for this other thing.
Or that's martial law. No. A bunch of guys with dump trucks hauling away debris is not martial law. Shut the fuck up.
I mean, it kind of makes me think of Alaska and how they pay shares to their citizens for the oil reserves, right?
Yeah. But what they mean is we took that money and we invested it in our own stock portfolios and we no longer have that money. Yeah. We just can't tell you that.
Well, we used it to pay for a transsexual beauty show in Bogota.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
How's that? How's all those drag queen story hours going to go? Yeah, I think that's about done.
Yeah. There's a lot of good, and we still have our special friends, our big capital L libertarians, telling us why all this is actually bad. And I don't understand that mindset. I literally think what I said last month is true. These folks are so used to losing. They can't win. Like, their minds will not accept a win. Like, the crypto executive order, the Bitcoin maxis are the same thing. Like, I'm all in on just Bitcoin. Yeah, I get it. But this thing that made it easier for crypto and says basically the government – this is what it basically says. The government will not fuck with this industry, and it will do things to make it easier for this industry to thrive. This is good for Bitcoin. Nope. These autistic maxis, man, it's not Bitcoin. It's not exactly the way they would do it, so it's a lose. And I think we have a lot of that in our society. And I guess it's indicative of kind of like this mass hysterical Stockholm syndrome or something. Like, I can't accept good news because then I'm going to be disappointed, I guess. I really don't know.
Was it Venezuela that took Bitcoin as currency now? Is that who that was?
El Salvador.
So Venezuela, the guy in charge right now won by like 52%. And then the next election cycle, he won by 85%. Rubio just went down there, had a meeting with him, and he said, we will take all of your prisoners that all these other countries don't want to take, all these people you're kicking out of the United States. Is that who it was? We will hold them, and we can house them instead of $1,500 a day. We can house them for you for $79 a day.
Yep. He's got these giant prisons they built when they were cleaning up the gang activity in El Salvador, right? So they actually took those guys initially. It looked very draconian, but then they put them on pathways back into society. Because what McKinley said was, so these people turned to the drug trade and they turned to the gangs because they had no future. They didn't necessarily want to do this. It was the only way they could get by. And the worse things got, the more people did it. So like they were training them in all these job skills and stuff, and they're beginning to empty the prisons now and put these people back into society. So then they have these giant prisons they built that are going empty. And they basically told Rubio, yeah, send us your hardcore prisoners that you don't want to deal with. And you pay us a fee, and we'll put them in our prison system. Yes, I don't know how I feel about that, but the kind of people they're talking about are the kind of people I'm not really, if they stick to it, then I'm not really concerned about it. If you raped a child, I really don't give a fuck what happened to you.
Well, we should just put them in helicopters and kick them out of the ocean.
I completely agree.
That's more the wood chipper.
The wood chipper. Right. But what I like better than the wood chipper is the shit they use in junkyards. You can drop like a truck engine on it, and it just shreds a truck engine. Feet first, really slow.
Yeah.
Really slow. Publicly live streamed, because I think and I don't do that because I'm some kind of sick, twisted person that wants to see people have that happen
to them.
I am all for deterrent, and I think if you're a child predator and you realize that could be me, I think it would have an effect for the positive there. Because I really mean this when I say this. There are people that did horrible things that even if they're going to be executed, I care how it happens. If you are a child predator, I do not give one shit what happens to you at all. I don't care if it's cruel or unusual. I don't care if you suffered. In fact, I prefer it that way.
They just arrested some guy from Obama's cabinet that landed in the UK, and when they grabbed him and he was speaking with who he thought was a child that was a police officer. And when they caught him, he had a bunch of stuffed toys and shit in his luggage. But that guy's going away, it seems, for a while.
Somebody says make it pay-per-view, but if you're on the child sex offenders list, it's free. You get to watch it for free because I want you to see it. And I love those things, John. Like, there's a lot of private people doing that too, where they like, they pretend to be a 14-year-old girl or something.
Oh, yeah, there's dudes all
like, they're like, you're going to jail. You're not getting away.
Dude, and they're beating the shit out of these guys on TikTok and Instagram. I mean, like, just pummeling these guys.
So what I prefer, instead of beating their ass, because that might actually help them get out of it once the cops get there, they're making them, like, call their wives before they call the police. Yeah. And then they're making them call the police and turn themselves in. And it's like this, because even if the cops end up letting them go, like, your life's over now.
I like one. There's one at Walmart, and the kid's in some little red car, and he's trying to escape, and he throws it in reverse, and the car climbs up a pole, and he's just like stuck. Just the car's just up in the air.
My favorite one like that is not related to this. It was like a Dumbest Criminals one. They do like the cop shows, but it's the dumb ones. And it was a dude that got drunk off his fucking ass. He tried to leave this place. It had like a ramp that went down to the road. So there was a retaining wall. He drove over the retaining wall. And since it was a front wheel drive car, his drive wheel was off.
Same type of thing.
And he thought he was going. He was just, and the cop, it looked like the Terminator when the cop's running next to the car. Like the cop walks up and knocks on the window and the fucking dude's like, what the hell was that? And yeah. And get out. So that would, but that's even better because it's a pedophile. Who defends these people? Because people do. Like,
somebody does. Somebody does. They get off.
Yeah.
Boa constrictors aren't big enough. You need like a really big hungry retic to eat a person. A boa is just not big enough to eat a full grown man. But like a retic or a Burmese, you could get it done with the right snake.
How much silver are we buying, Wood and Loki? What are we buying? How much? I love when dudes are like, where should I buy silver? How much are you buying? I don't know. I want to buy a couple coins a week.
Local shop. Yeah. If you're not going to be spending a couple $100, buy local. I mean, buy from my sponsor if you're going to spend a couple $100 or more. JM Bullion. And join my thing and get a discount. Get 5% off. But, yeah, John's right. There's a lot of people that, like, make a big deal about price. But if you're buying small quantities, what are you going to spend a dollar less on your two coins? Do you really think you're going to think about that a year from now, let alone 10 years from now? Somebody said to me, what do you have in your silver? I don't know. I have no idea how much I have in.
Buy monster boxes. If you can't buy boxes, buy tubes. Buy kilos. Buy it by the pound, whatever. 100-ounce bars.
I like Eagles if you're going to be buying. And the reason is for the tax advantages on the sale end side. The other nice thing about silver, since it is small amounts, you can sell it off in. You could, in a tight pinch where you needed to monetize your silver and you couldn't directly spend it, you could go to multiple pawn shops and keep your sell to under $600. They will not 1099 you on it.
We went into a bunch of pawn shops trying to buy it, and they all laughed at us. They're like, we don't sell silver. We buy it, but we don't sell it.
They don't sell it. What do they do? They buy it and hold it, or are they buying it and flipping it into a warehouse?
No, I think they put it in a safe.
Oh, okay.
I think they're all holding it.
That's interesting.
And if what you're doing is dollar cost averaging at $20 a month, then wait till you have enough to buy some. That's the other thing. It's like,
yeah, you're not buying shit.
Which is fine. Just wait till you have $200 in the pot and just get it from JM Bullion. That's what I did when I had that budget.
You guys would have made better money buying bullets.
Yeah.
Buying quality ammunition.
If you're buying right now for your future, buy Bitcoin. I know I sound like a broken record, but I mean, you're talking about the best performing asset that humans ever created. If people are like, no, I want to do better.
Somebody,
do something, man. And tell you to do better.
You know, you don't have to buy one, right? You know, you can buy like five.
I didn't know that early on. And that did keep me from buying it.
Really?
Until I realized, oh, I can buy $20. Same thing. $20 worth, right?
I'm doing a $5 a day DCA challenge right now because it's approachable to everybody.
Yeah.
I have a recurring buy set up in Strike, just $5 a day. It's about $150 a month. And I'm like, if you can't do that, if you can do $7 a week, you can do a daily $1 a day DCA on Strike. And after 1 week of your DCA, there's no fees.
Like somebody on my live said when Bitcoin hit 100 grand, he cashed out and bought gold. And my buddy Ken, he said, congratulations, you just lost a shitload of money.
Yeah. Yeah. And you just paid a bunch of fucking a bunch of income tax too. A bunch of capital gains. Well done.
Yeah.
What you'll end up finding out, John, is he had like $1,000 worth.
That's always what it is. It's all
cashed out.
Silver guy. Where's the best deal on silver? Well, how much are we buying? It's always two. It's always. Yeah, guys, buy, just get on Cat. If you don't know anything else about Bitcoin, everybody get Cash App. You can buy Bitcoin straight off of there, and then you can move it off of there to a mechanical wallet or something. You can buy $1. You can buy $10. Go buy $10 of Bitcoin, and just even if it's just a week, just go buy some Bitcoin until you're comfortable with it. Look at it by the daily, the weekly, and the monthly, and look at it fluctuate until you're comfortable with it, and then just go from there. I told every one of my employees at the beginning of COVID, I go, take that $1,400 stimulus check. You're going to go buy a bunch of shit that you're not even going to be able to identify in 90 days. Take that and buy Bitcoin. Not a single one of them. We have the conversation every month. How much Bitcoin do you have? How much Bitcoin do you have? Do you know how much you would have if you'd have put that $1,400 in there?
And they
still don't listen.
No, and they won't listen. I think there's a lot of people with sour grapes syndrome. And since they didn't do it, now they have to find the excuse of why they still can't do it. And I find this to be very self-detrimental, right? Like you're not helping yourself by holding your breath here. Think back to when you were a little kid and your mom told you to eat your fucking dinner and you said you weren't going to do it. And you said, if you don't let me leave the table, I'll hold my breath. And what did your mom say? Go ahead. Right? I know that might work for you today if you're like a Gen Alpha with a millennial mom. But let me tell you something about like boomers and silent generation parents. They were like, when you turn blue, I'll know it's working. Like there was no negotiating there. Now you're doing it to yourself, right? Like you are you are resisting the single biggest force in the economic marketplace to ever hit the economic marketplace. And you can do what you want, but don't say we, all three of us have told you over and over and over again about this. And I've only been telling you since 2013.
Everybody.
Well, okay. I'm in a very different wealth category than both of these guys. Okay. I just not there yet, but somehow I still have a whole Bitcoin. You know why? Because I just started fricking buying it. I started accepting it for things that I sell, and I don't mind disclosing that I have what I have. And it was literally because I stopped saying no and started just making it happen.
And when did you have zero?
When did I have zero? 2016.
Okay.
Now, everybody,
when did you have less than, let's say, 0.1, and you like decided I'm going to do this?
No, I didn't have less than 0.1. I had half of one when I decided I was going to do that, and that was in 2019.
So everybody, from 2019 to now, you stacked half a coin.
Yeah.
And you actually did that a couple years ago. You hit,
yeah, it's been that way for a while. Yeah. So. And it's just like every time somebody paid me for something, I reported it, you know, like if it's because I track my finances in my business, like that's income for my business. But then I just hodled that. Like I don't resell it. So it's just like it just goes over there in the corner.
Everybody knows a guy who had some Bitcoin, bought $100 in Bitcoin, and then it was worth, you know, $100,000, but he lost his hard drive. That can still be you. Like that's like right now, that can still be you. Somebody said buy XRP. I bought $1,000 XRP 2 months ago, probably. I haven't even looked at it. I don't even know where it's at. I mean, I know where it is. I don't know at what the cost
is.
Yeah.
I have one piece of advice and one piece of advice only.
No shitcoins.
Done. Just don't.
But the thing that keeps people from starting this is the same thing that keeps them from starting that business they're telling us about, right? So one day I'm going to raise rabbits and I'm going to sell rabbit meat. And it's like, well, do you have a rabbit? No.
You don't have a rabbit.
I'm a homesteader. What kind of animals do you have? Well, I don't have any animals. Why don't you get some chickens? Because I don't have any cages. Man, I had 20 goats. I had 5 goats and rabbits and chickens here on the property with no fences. I used to go out of town on the weekend and the sheriff would call me and he's like, John, your goats are on the hill. I'm like, well, are they on the road? No, they're on the hill. I'm like, okay, well, call me if they're on the road. Like, we didn't have any fencing. We had nothing out here. We would throw bags of feed up by the building, and the goats would go up there and eat the feed and kind of stay around there. We didn't have nothing to keep those animals in.
Yeah. So if you don't start, you don't finish. Sometimes if you start, you don't finish too, but you're never going to have a chance to finish if you don't start.
Yeah. Yeah. We none of us finish everything, I think.
Right? Yeah.
Like if you finished everything, you're kind of done and you might as well crawl in a box and get buried. Right. So we won't finish, but you will never finish a single thing you don't start. And I know
my biggest accomplishments, and I've been really deep diving on this because I'm shifting where I put my time, are things that I did a little bit on every day.
Yeah.
And didn't not do the little bit every day. Which is kind of the lesson of 75 hard too. It's like you do the thing every day, no matter what. And if you don't start, then you won't do it. And the same goes for Bitcoin. Just $1 a day.
Dollar a day. If that's what you can do.
$31 maximum a month.
Yeah. Make one deposit for $30, $35 a month, any of your account, wherever it is, and set up $1 a day buy. I think most people can do better. But at least you start. And what ends up happening is when it goes down and everybody's going, oh, it crashed. And you're like, first of all, it didn't crash. It's at $93,000.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And when you remember it being $3,000, if you remember it being $600, you think these people are insane. But even if you're new and you think, oh, yeah, it went down a lot. Well, all you're thinking is, so my buying today got me more than it did yesterday. That's the mental transformation people need to make, that down is good. Up means you pay more. Down means you pay less. We all know what the long-term trend is here. It's about 200% per annum since inception, and it's over 100% per annum in the last 10 years. Because the very beginning of it, it's a little bit ridiculous. Like, that's not going to happen. If you go back and look, it's about 2013 on the macro. If you just look at since inception, that line, there's ups and downs in it, but it's very linear. It's actually very predictable since that point. And if it were to do 10% of what it's done in the past, it would still be the best investment you can reliably make. Plus, then, like what Pete Weitz left out is, it's not just the money. If you were to invest in some stock or some fund and it did just as good, you'd think, well, that's just as good. No, it's not, because it's locked in your brokerage. There is no way that, like, if shit goes sideways for you, that I can transfer, you know, part of my shares in the Dow Jones over to John. I have to sell that, get money, take that money, get all eaten up, and then send him the dollars, because I don't want John to break my fingers because I owe him money, right? If I have Bitcoin, I can just, what's your address? Beep, there's your money. Don't break my fingers. The fact that it can be transferred makes it very hard to fuck with. And now they added those ETFs last year, right? People don't get, like, ETFs are bad. Shut up. Don't worry about that. All I care about is Bitcoin is now in the retirement accounts of teachers. Bitcoin is in the retirement account of firefighters. Bitcoin is in the retirement accounts of cops. You do not fuck with that as the government.
Yeah,
it is the last place you will stick your nose is into the retirement accounts of public servants who we've made out to be heroes. You won't touch it. You'll fuck with an Indian reservation first.
Yeah, you have major cities paying employees in Bitcoin. They can take part in check, part in Bitcoin, the entire payment.
And you got the biggest financial asset managing company in the world in BlackRock now aggressively marketing it across the world. Okay, maybe stop talking about Tulip Mania, but no. I guarantee you I will get an email about Tulip Mania from this episode. I will bet Bitcoin on it that I will get that email.
How much Bitcoin are you going to bet?
Who's gonna I don't it? Know, like $100 worth.
1,000 XRP.
The spiteful fucker will not send it just to make me lose, right?
Yep.
Yeah, the best time to plant a tree, 20 years ago and today. That's the Bitcoin thing, man.
Yep. Yep.
It's not too late. You're gonna be having, when we're having this same conversation a year from now, dudes are gonna be like, man, it's too late. I should have done it a year ago.
That's XRP on the screen right there, priced in Bitcoin.
How high is the Dow Jones right now? Is it like over 40,000 about?
I have a guy for that.
Like, I remember when it was under 10 and it went over 10 and that was the highest it was ever going to be.
Yeah.
And people were saying, man, I never got into the stock market, and now it's too late. And it's all right now. It's over 40,000. It's not a different concept.
You gave me a flashback. I was 20, 21, 22 years old, somewhere in that range. It was right after I came here to Texas. I was at a Starbucks, and I used to go there because I was broke at the time. So I would buy a coffee and I would read books and magazines all day and not feel like I'm ripping them off because I bought something. And I was looking at a financial journal, and a guy over my shoulder says, do you think it ever will hit 10,000? And even back then, my answer was, yeah. And he goes, why? I said, because sooner or later, it'll hit any number. If it doesn't go away, it will go up from here, and the percentages will stay the same. And he told me I had a lot to learn.
Yeah.
He wasn't wrong, but he was wrong.
Right.
I had a lot to learn, but not about that. That was a pretty basic answer that I had learned in economics in like 11th grade.
I'm trying to look up what it is, and it is not.
Oh, the Dallas
magic. Yeah, it's not coming up on my magic search.
But while you're looking for that, just real quick for people looking at that screen right now, that is XRP priced in Bitcoin. The all-time high against Bitcoin was in 2017. 2017 reached its. It has not regained. It is far and away off its all-time high. So all you've done by buying this garbage is cost yourself money. But you know, do what you want. It's okay. It's technology.
Yeah, it's 44,000.
And I don't give a fuck if John buys it because he's got money and it's just like a lottery ticket, whatever. But like, if people that are asking these questions generally aren't like me and John, they're like having to take money that they really aren't sure about. You went to Vegas, you put it on double green zeros, and you hoped. That's what you've done with your money. And it doesn't mean you won't win, but you know what happens when a person throws down $500 on double zero. Do they take their fucking money and leave? No, I'm playing with the house's money. And then they end up leaving after I got to get it back. I got to get back. $2,000 came out of the ATM while you're liquored up on the cheapest fucking liquor they can give you for free.
While they're pumping oxygen. pumping oxygen, keep you awake, and giving you free drinks.
Yeah, yeah. Scantily clad women, free booze, and gee, money flows. Like, and you notice they never lose? Have you ever seen a casino? The only time I ever heard of a casino, no, it wasn't a casino, it was a whorehouse. There was a whorehouse that went out of business, a legal whorehouse in outside of Vegas. Was the Mustang Ranch, and they got in trouble for back taxes. The government took over a whorehouse and bar and ran it as the custodian while it was in bankruptcy or while it was in dispute, and the government bankrupted a whorehouse. I mean, basically, if people can't run a whorehouse and they fuck up a gas can that we had for 50 years, they probably shouldn't be touching anything.
And that is my concern with the Sovereign Wealth Fund. That yeah, not articulate they well earlier is the government is running it, and that can open it up to all sorts of doesn't work.
Well, let's think about it this way. Let's say that everything that Trump does is good. It won't be, but let's just pretend it will be. And let's say Vance gets elected next time and he's doing what Orange Man's doing and it's all good. There will come a time when the power pendulum will swing the other direction. It's really easy to believe it won't. And the way they're acting right now, you'd think these people are fucked forever. It will not go that way. Sooner or later, people will be dissatisfied. They will make a change just to make a change. And then the people that you don't want to have the power that you're happy about today will have that power tomorrow. And that's happened in both directions. Like, the left is the same way. They cheer it all on. Boy, they're not happy right now, are they? Right? Like, if your guy can do it, then our guy can do it. And you need to always be thinking about what the next guy's going to do, not what the current guy's doing.
And what they can do with that power.
Yes. And a big slush fund of money.
Yeah.
A big slush fund of money. So there has to be, like, if Orange Man's got any brains, and I think he does, there should be some guardrails put around it. But how do you get those guardrails without involving the legislature? Because anything a POTUS can do, a POTUS can undo. That's the weakness of executive orders.
Yeah. Well, and he's testing boundaries right now. So that's the other part of what's happening is, everything he gets away with right now can be gotten away with when
in the other direction.
Yeah, because it's going to go back the other way. It always does.
The birthright citizenship is one where I think not only did he overstep constitutional authority, I don't think what he's doing is what people want, because they basically just said, we're just ending birthright citizenship, period. I think that if the order had been more narrow along the lines of, birthright citizenship only applies to people legally within the United States who have resided legally for at least 9 months prior to the birth. That probably would have had a chance to get through the courts. But this wholesale, like, it just doesn't exist anymore. Like, it's an amendment to the Constitution. You can't just do that.
And probably the last thing we want right now is a constitutional convention.
Yeah, but we don't need a convention to do an amendment.
Yeah,
you could do a one-off amendment through the legislature, and then it has to go to the states. But, I think a convention of the states right now may not be very useful. It might be detrimental. Or not. Who knows? Who knows?
Look at the map.
Look at the map. But then, you know, we could that can have blowback, too. Like, okay, you got what you wanted, but now the next election is going to be fire against you. Like, because I could see some issues that could come up with that, like national amendments that then restrict certain rights that the left is rightly behind could then blow back on the Republicans really hard.
Do you think Trump would have tried as hard as he did had he not had all those lawsuits going on?
No. I think they also gave him the election. When they tried to shoot him, when they turned a misdemeanor into 38 felonies, like things like that, when they did his perp walk and they freaking did that mugshot down in Georgia. Like, I think all those things made it inevitable that this was going to happen. But when he got up off that ground with that bleeding ear and did that fight, fight, fight shit, like, that was it. That it was over right there.
Yeah. Yeah, he couldn't afford to lose the election.
No. But bros impressed me. I mean, there's a lot of things I don't like about the guy, but man, you talk about a tough son of, like, who else could have done that? Who else could have walked through all that shit and still been standing? Because you know if he had said, look, man, let this all go and I won't run, they would have made that deal. The only reason they didn't charge him with shit till he announced he was running again. Everything went dead quiet. And then the minute that man said, I'm running again, all of a sudden everybody's filing charges against him. I wouldn't want to be any of those people right now. He is on the warpath, and I don't fucking blame him.
Yep, I think it's coming back on him.
Yeah. There was a dude that just announced on X that the prosecutor that put him in jail for the Jan 6 shit was fired.
A lot of them.
Yeah.
You're going to see them wrap ship up.
Did you notice how many of the freaking prisons were refusing to release people after the pardon was issued for a couple weeks?
Yeah, they said the marshals went into that prison in D.C., and then there was a bunch of footage of people coming out on gurneys.
Yeah.
And the media reported that as though it was the hostages, you know, well, the prisoners being held.
Yeah.
But there's some speculation that that was some of the people that worked there in that prison that was refusing to release those people.
Got their ass whooped.
Yeah. Yeah, the marshals showed up, and that's when a lot of people started getting released. There's also some video and some pictures showing like broom closets, little like slivers of rooms where they were holding a lot of these hostages. There was no bathroom facilities in there at all.
Well, the other thing they were doing, they were, because there's more than one federal prison, right? So they were moving these people around so their family didn't have access to them, because in some cases families literally relocated to visit. And then they would just all of a sudden they move them from New York to D.C. and then from there to Kansas or some shit. Like,
yeah,
there was just really dirty shit being done there. And some of the guys that have been released have said things like, you know, we were assaulted by other prisoners while guards stood by and let it happen.
Yep.
Right. And not, like, I know that shit happens, but like specifically targeted as a subgroup to allow it. Like, other guys knew they could go fuck these dudes up and pay no consequence for it.
Or were even given privileges to do so.
Yeah.
They're going around right now looking for the names of all the FBI agents that were looked at, that were doing the investigations on these dudes.
Yeah, that's going to end up in a whole nother wave, I think, soon.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that pendulum swung way back, and it's about to come further than a lot of people are even comfortable with.
Yeah.
I think we're going to be surprised how far it even goes.
Yeah. Do you worry about the next pendulum swing?
No, it's good for business. Either, like, we're kind of bored right now. I mean, now as you have a 4-year reprieve right now where you can do some shit without a ton of oversight and legislation and worry. You know what? Even like hell, there's probably posts that I've made in the last 6 years where I expect, you know, in the future, the feds would have came and wanted to talk to somebody about it. You saw that happening all around. You got a 4-year reprieve right now where you can breathe and plant some trees and actually, you know, do business without the worry of somebody coming and knocking on your door or kicking your door in the middle of the night. I think it might come back. But I mean, right now is a time when you can make money right now. You can make money. Not as quickly, not as easy money, but you can make a lot more stable money in these 4 years.
Agreed. And I think that's something that people need to be looking at. Like, if you've always thought about starting a business, now is the time. And the reality is we may have an economic boom because of this. We may not, but we may. You don't want to build in the economic boom. You want to build in the buildup to the economic boom, so you're already in place when it happens. That is the key. That's why some of the greatest fortunes in the United States were built during the Great Depression, but they actually made their money in the war years and after that because they had the foundation in place. And small business can move a lot faster, but that's the same mentality you need to be in, is like, things are not that great yet. They may get better. If they don't, you need a business. And if they do, you really need a business, because you want to take part in that explosion, because getting a $1 an hour raise or a $2 an hour raise is going to feel really good for like 3 weeks.
It doesn't do anything with the cost.
It doesn't do anything.
Living and everything.
That's why you can buy, you know, $150 worth of Bitcoin a month. Cause if I give you $150 raise in a month, you won't even know you had it. I told a dude on X, he got all fucking mad at me, but I said, listen, bro, I've been listening to what you're saying to me here. If I handed you $100,000 in cash right now, and I came back to you on this day in 2026, you'll be fucking broke and your life will be worse. And he got really mad then, but I'm telling you, there is a certain state that people get in. If you hand the money, you literally harm them, right?
Yep.
You literally make their life worse.
Well, that's all your lotto winners.
Yeah. Yeah. What's his name? Rodney King, that got all the money from the LA, you know, the LA riot guy. He ended up dead at the bottom of the swimming pool like 2 years after he got his money.
Yep. Yeah. I see people saying that a lot of the January 6th guys that were released were rearrested in their states. I've heard that too. What happened with the dude that got in a shootout? They stopped him on a traffic stop and then they ended up killing him. I never heard what the catalyst to that was.
My understanding with him is he was a legit bad guy. He was like one of the bad guys that actually got out with all the good guys and he caused his own trouble. I have not heard any confirmation of anybody simply being arrested at the state level for supposedly what they did in D.C. I don't believe that's possible, because how would somebody like Virginia or Florida have jurisdiction over an occurrence in the district? I don't buy it. I have not seen this person was arrested and they came up with the charge because of what they supposedly did on. I have not seen that.
I would suspect that coming back into that jurisdiction, they had prior existing wants and warrants.
That's where our side does stupid shit, right? So let's say this guy was wanted for failure to appear, and then they issue a warrant against failure to appear. He's got two outstanding warrants, and then the state picks him up on those warrants. It's not directly connected to J6.
What about the tranny vegan cult? Have you heard this? Northern state border agent got in a shootout with a man and woman. This happened. I remember hearing this 3 weeks, maybe even a month ago. And it was said right off the bat, people started getting into social media and found these people's pages and said that this is a tranny. And now it has just came out re-reported, making no mention of this happening a month ago. Now it is a tranny vegan cult, and apparently there's a lot of these people in this group, and it is a trans right activist group that has a bunch of very computer savvy hackers with them. But somehow they were doing some weird shit. They checked into a hotel, and somebody at the hotel noticed that they had firearms. They were open carrying these guns. I thought it was in Pennsylvania. Okay. And they end up following these people, and somehow they end up with contact and they get in a shootout, shoot a border agent, and I believe the border agent killed one and wounded another. And now it is being disclosed. It's unraveled into this story, which I saw yesterday.
The militant vegan transsexuals got in a gunfight with Border Patrol. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. And they are now, okay. It's being reported that there's quite a number of these people.
Interesting. Wouldn't want to be them.
They're
going to federal prison. They're going to have their own kind of hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're not going to women's prison anymore, by the way.
No, you are not. They just pulled all those weirdos out and put them in on the other side.
Yeah, last year, same thing happens. This dude's going to get arrested and addressed. Say he's a woman. He's going to federal women's penitentiary. You're going with Bubba now, buddy. Sorry. Sorry about your luck.
Loden Loki, you found a place that rents sewing machines. When I started, I rented industrial sewing machines out of San Diego. What product will you be building? Like, what is your product line going to be?
Yeah, let's make sure it's not a toolbox fallacy here.
I'm taking on my first actual sewing project in about 5 years, John. because before that it had been 10. I made a cloak 5 years ago. I tried to buy an apron on Amazon that was a specific one that covered front and back for gardening.
Yeah.
And it came, and the top of this came about halfway down my boobs. And it ended, you know, it was like for a 6-year-old. So I'm going to have to sew my own apron.
For guys that don't know, we do a video series called Full Build. And every week I take a product that I make, because people are like, well, this is really expensive. I'm like, well, let me show you how to make it, and maybe you could just make your own. And some guys do. There's guys that have launched businesses watching this. But most of the replies are, never mind, I'll just buy the one that you're making. But we do, stitch by stitch. Yeah. Their videos are about 2 hours long. I show you all the pieces, and I talk to you and tell you things that I learned while sewing that will speed you up. And if you could be the best sewing guy in the industry, if you watch my videos, there is something in every one of those videos that will help your business. And they're free.
I still have a product idea for you that you just won't do for some reason. I think you'd sell a shitload of them. So you do some things during holidays that are just kind of fun here and there. Yeah. Like you've got stockings during Christmas and shit. You need to do for Easter an egg delier, which would just basically be a 40-millimeter granola bandolier, but marketed as an egg delier.
Well, then homesteaders would be all over that.
I would buy one for myself, and I would buy probably a dozen of the fucking things that I would give out to random people and shit. Like, it would be cool, and it's functional. Because a lot of, like, this time of year, we're not getting enough eggs to drag the fucking basket out there, so what ends up happening is there's, like, four, and I put them in my pocket, and they fucking break. I would literally just hang it on the hook, and then you could fuck with people, like, you know.
Man, I had an egg in my hoodie yesterday morning.
See?
And I don't know what I did, and I'm like, why am I all wet? And it was broke. That damn thing broke in the pocket of my hoodie yesterday.
Yeah, I hate that.
Other fucking gear. Make it like your fucking belts that can tow a truck and shit.
And I have an egg basket that holds 79 eggs sitting on the four-wheeler.
You need egg delier. And then as you fill it up, you just rotate it.
Would that be a pain in the butt to make, though, because of all the pockets?
Nicole, would you buy that if he made it?
Absolutely.
All right, hold on.
It's too expensive. They're on Amazon. Somebody makes them.
And
they make them here.
So the reason John doesn't want to make it, Jack, is every one of those little egg pockets has to be sewn on there, and I think that's the pain in the butt.
If you type in egg apron in Google, $10 on Amazon, $32, there's a camo one. Man, if I make that thing, in the time it takes me to sew all those pockets, we build a product that's $300.
That's a bit high.
Yeah.
That's a bit high. I was thinking like $100. Can you do that for $100, right?
We could do something.
How many pockets?
Yeah, we could get a dozen on there or something, build it simple.
They make a snack bandolier.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we have 40 mic stuff that'll hold Alum rounds. So it'll hold anywhere from an HEDP to an Alum round. It'll hold an egg.
Let's see, guys. If you're in the live stream right now and you'd spend $100 on an egg delier if he'd build it, just give us a thumbs up in there or say me. And let's see. I can get one at Walmart for $14.99. No, you can't. That's fucking Patrick. Well, let's give Patrick a little pimp in here. So Patrick's got talons out again.
Woohoo!
And that's what I went to grab at the beginning. So I got my two talons from Patrick yesterday. This is the coolest little neck knife that I know. And Patrick is the only person I know that wraps his knives in a warning label so that when you open it, you don't put your thumb here and cut the end of your thumb off, which totally almost happened to a guy. I don't know if you were here for that one, Nicole, where the dude like cut his thumb and the next day the paramedics were working on him and he almost passed out. So if you don't follow the warning label, he's also the only knife maker I know that literally includes a package of Steri-Strips with every knife he sells. And our mutual friend, Nicole, Jake, question Jake. Jake got his new knife and immediately dropped it, sliced his freaking calf open, and sent Patrick a picture of his bleeding leg.
I saw that picture.
Be careful with these, but I know it looks little, but this is one. I mean, this just carries absolutely beautifully. And man, beyond razor sharp indeed. Pick one up, mtknives.net.
See, I send John K cups and he ships it with K cups in the egg pockets.
That's a good idea.
The K cups is a big hit. Like when we had all those leftover K cups from one of the parties or one of the events, people all the time are like, man, I tried that K cup and then I ordered some. Like that's a good use of money right there.
We were going to get this bandolier done. I've been working on this for like 6 fucking years now. We're going to make some kind of basket of goods. It's like a $300 product that people will buy coffee in that motherfucker. I don't know.
There's 40 people in the comments saying they'll build their own.
Yeah, but they won't.
I crocheted an egg apron. Man, that seems like a lot of time.
Yeah, that's an apron too. It's not a freaking egg delier, man. We have to even figure out how to spell egg delier. I have no idea.
I know. I was actually struggling with that. I think it's EGGDOLIER is how
I don't think they need to have like Velcro or anything over them, John.
Weight's going to hold them. They just have a little piece.
Yeah, if you bend over, it's your own problem.
Yeah.
It's like when you have your phone in your breast pocket and you lean over the pond.
Yeah, I know all about that.
Same.
I'm glad the new iPhones are waterproof.
That's actually why I went to Android from iPhone. Was I the third time my iPhone went into the pond, I was like, okay.
Those metal ponds I have, fluke right to the bottom. Fortunately, it was the time of year when they're clear, and I was like, ah. And I'm like, oh, yeah, the new one doesn't die immediately, you know.
Yeah.
Make sure you clean your K-Cup machine. Yeah, I don't know. I have water that kills K-Cup machines, so I don't really use them much.
The machine, just buy a new machine every 6 months.
Yeah, I guess you could do that.
They're not expensive anymore.
Before it breaks, the quality goes to ass. I've gotten on the AeroPress train. Mm-hmm. I need to put that on my site as a review item. I love a freaking AeroPress, which was nice. Like, we were 5 minutes from going live with Nicole, and I was like, I'm going to go make coffee. And I'm like, I don't have time. And I'm like, with an AeroPress you do.
Yeah. I have a piece of an AeroPress in my kitchen because somebody came here to show me one this weekend.
She went home without
one of her pieces, so now I'll be shipping that to Chattanooga.
Pour over your
composter. What I really like is the cleaning of an AeroPress. So, like, you take the little thing off the bottom and you slam it, and this little puck, like coming out of an espresso machine, just drops in the compost thing, and then it's 2 seconds to clean the whole thing, and you're done. Where a fucking fresh press, you're in there just dicking around with it for, you know, 5 minutes to clean it. So it's easy to clean, it's fast, and I would say the quality of the coffee that comes out of it makes me think of like a high-end hotel's coffee. That's the difference between that and like a drip or a pour-over or whatever. It's just got that, and it's probably because you do that finer grind, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know, but.
Well, and the water's not on the beans as long.
Yeah.
For anybody that doesn't want to make their own aprons, we do have an apron, and we have a tool apron, which makes a great gardening apron. Okay. And there's probably 50 tool aprons in the shop right now. So you can see them on the website. Nicole's got one. Kiri has one.
I use one all the time. It's perfect because it has different pockets. So you can like put your spades and shears over here and seeds over there. When I was bottle feeding lambs last year, I would drive over on the four-wheeler with the bottles in the apron. I should have sent you a picture of that one for marketing. That would have made a good idea. But, yeah, those things are badass. And if you sell at a farmer's market, you can also use it to hold your money, and it's way easier than dealing with a cash box.
Yeah, if you guys are dealing with cash, our zippered knife pouch is awesome for holding cash.
There you go.
Yeah.
I still want an egg delir.
I will make you a egg delir. I'll get you one.
Either that or bring back the Mookie War bag and make it that much bigger so a fucking sub 2K will fit inside it.
So I have the Formag War bag, which is a stripped down Mookie War bag. It has way less stuff inside it, so it's much more usable.
Let me see here. Formag War bag?
It's not on the website. It's a custom.
You have to know.
Yeah, okay. I've been doing a lot. I'm doing rifle cases, which are custom. I just did a helmet case.
Yeah, he sent me a Mookie back when he first created those. It was the tactical case.
Do you still have it?
Yes, I still have it.
Man, guys, get
my airline carry on. It makes them all freak out when they start checking through it and shit. But it's like a sub 2K it just won't. You can lick it a little bit. It still won't slide in there, and it certainly wouldn't come out and deploy.
But there's a ton of little guns now that will fit in there. Those things go for $1,500 on eBay.
The Mookies.
The bag, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not selling mine. They were like $600 when you sent me that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is the best freaking tactical briefcase ever made by anyone ever, in my opinion. And I'm not saying that because I like you, because I would totally tell you if it sucked.
No, I know. I agree with you. They are very labor intensive.
I bet they are. And I can see why it would be. But that's what made them so fucking awesome. It probably made them hard to sell until you can't get it. And then somebody will go pay twice.
They were never hard to sell. We don't ever build enough of anything to be hard to sell. We jump all over the place.
You're like Kel-Tec.
Yeah. Like homesteading. I'm right there with you. Homestead M81. I like woodland camo.
That new Kel-Tec handgun, I look forward to buying one in about 2029 when I can actually get one. The 5.7, have you seen that, John?
No. Have you seen the Flux Raider? The little SIG pistol with the folding stock and everything on it?
No.
You might like that.
Okay. I don't need any more guns in 2025 that I like. Like I've been on a ban of buying new guns because I have enough. And then 2025 comes and there's like, they're fucking doing crack cocaine over at Kel-Tec and inventing cool shit. And like, they came out with this 5.7. There's no magazine, so fuck your magazine laws. They load from the top like a broom handle Mauser, but they're 5.7. They're $299 MSRP.
Grindle had it.
But Kel-Tec's track record has been they come out this cool thing and like you can't even get one for 2 years. Like they're just not like somebody gets them, but not me.
They used to have this little subgun carbine thing and they had a pistol, machine pistol version of it. And I think it was a company called Grindle and it held 30 rounds, but you had to breech load it through the top like an M1 Grand.
Yeah, that's how this is. But it does 10 round stripper clips. It holds 20 rounds of 5.7.
Oh, the stripper clips neat.
Yeah, they just feed in. So then, again, your high-capacity magazines, there isn't a magazine. Goes through. It's a 5.7, which is just an amazing round. It weighs less than, like, the Palmetto Arms one or the Chris Vector one, and it's $300. Then fucking Henry's hurting my heart. Henry came out with this new lever gun, marketed as the most accurate lever rifle ever, and so far that has proven true. Comes in 223, but it also comes in 300 blackout, suppressor ready. It's like $1,100, but it's beautiful. And the subsonic 300 blackouts in it, you can literally hear the hammer hitting.
Yeah.
When the hammer falls, there's no noise. 220 grain bullet, you know, lethal to a deer at 100 yards, dead quiet, and it takes AR mags. It's like,
can't you just get David to buy those so you can play with them and you don't have to?
I've been trying, but, you know, that's my goal. I send him shit that I want to buy myself, and then he'll buy it and I can use it. But, you know, I have put a ban on me buying new guns because I have so many guns in my gun case that don't come out and play. And I've even sold some recently and bartered some recently. But then, like, now there's room for new friends.
No, the problem is the solution, Jack.
Yeah.
Clearly, you are not going shooting enough.
Yeah, that's part of it. Well, see, the 5.7, I would be comfortable shooting into a berm back here.
Mm-hmm.
Like some of my other stuff, like not only would I not be, because I have people behind me. It's legal, but it's not responsible the way the houses are arranged behind me to do something like that. But like if I was out there with like a 460 Weatherby or something, I think that I would upset people.
You just got to bring in a bunch of dirt.
Yeah, a lot of dirt.
Put in a berm. Dirt. Yeah, we got a big, huge berm.
But the Kel-Tec stuff is, they're a machinery company that makes guns with their like free time or something. And they do come up with some innovative crap.
Oh, the guy at Kel-Tec made the Grindle. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yep. I'll pull it up. We're getting a new person locally related to guns. So we, in the last year in my area, they opened a gun store. This was a big deal in our area. And now he does the powder coat stuff.
Cerakote.
Yeah, that.
Yeah.
He's coming out of Murfreesboro, but he just posted today and I was like, sweet, now we need training out here.
Yeah, we've got some really good Cerakote guys. We've got two guys in particular.
Oh, it's BAM Customs. BAM Customs.
BAM Customs. Good name.
They're out of I mean, they're established. They've been in business a while, but yeah.
Scott King. Yeah. The highly visible gun range, just the gun fire is a great security measure.
It's only for the video people. No one else gets to know. And now it's gone.
That was minute 1:38 for those of you on the audio who'd like to go see what we're giggling about.
Yep.
Patrick, I don't know anybody for DLC, but I'll bet Scully does. If you message me that, I will find out tomorrow. He'll be here while we're filming.
Patrick's want list is a really high-end CNC machine so he can start making his own scales and stuff for his knives. I want him to have that. We should figure out how he can get there. I want scales.
So Scott says, I built a highly visible gun range on my property. Best security system money can buy.
Yep. The next best, actually better than that, is when you have steel targets and they hear you hitting those steel targets all the time.
I just thought of that, and I was wondering if that's where I heard that from years ago, was from you, about the guy that just, you know, every once in a while he just would ring his steel, but way out, like 300-400 yard steel, so you get the pink, pink. That goes in your brain that this is a bad place to go, right? Like that.
Well, Jeff's on 300 acres of property, and they've got a range cut to 960 yards. Cool. And this guy's kind of acting weird on the edge of the property, and Jeff's like, "What's going on?" He's like, "My dog's missing. Please don't shoot my dog." He's like, "Why do you think I would shoot your dog?" He said, "Well, you know, the people talk. They hear you shooting all the time, and you never miss. And everybody says you're a sniper and you never miss." And he's like, "What makes you think that I never miss?" He goes, "We can hear the metal that you're shooting on the valley over the hill. We know that you always hit because we hear when you're shooting and we hear the ting."
The tank.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Spoiler alert. Jeff didn't shoot his dog.
Yeah.
No, Jeff's not going to shoot anybody.
That's the dudes that make the kind of clown videos and shit where like it's like I dressed like a DEA agent and they're like, he's like, "What are you guys doing?" And they're yelling from a distance. They go, "Is that level 3 armor?" And the guy's like, "Hold on, Amy.
Yeah.
Is that level 3 armor?" I live next to a state forest, but I have a bunch of horse people around. I try not to shoot a ton. Nah, horse people would appreciate that. A spooked horse is not a good thing.
Well, rides. I mean, if you own the property, that's got to be a tough one, man. That would suck.
I don't really get riding horses anymore. I they're beautiful animals and all, but I've seen really bad injuries from people riding horses.
Man, I see videos all the time of girls just out there feeding the horses, and the horse kicks them right in the head, and you're like, man, that had to have killed her.
Yeah, you really got to know what you're doing. They're smart, and that means that they like do things like hold grudges and get angry. You know, that's there was when I was a kid, we used to go horseback riding. There was a horse. He was a dick, and I was standing like we were done riding, and he came over the fence and he bit me in the back, like in the back fat. And I turned around just out of instinct and I punched him, and I'm sure it didn't hurt him, but that actually worked out. Like then he was my buddy. It was like I stood up to him and he was all chill with me when I went back, but that could go a stupid kid. That could go the other way. That horse could be like, "I remember you.
I remember you punched me."
Yep. Yep. Yeah.
Well, and they can sense your emotions. So if you're afraid of them, they can tell. And then if you're on them and you're afraid of them, then they are uneasy.
They really know. There was a movie I watched one time, and it was about like drug addicts going through recovery. And one of the things they had to do was pick the horse's foot up like they were going to shoe it. And unless you were willing to let the horse help you or some shit like that was what was said in it, the horse wouldn't. So until that person got to the point where they were willing to let somebody help them, they couldn't. It was something like that. And I think it was based on it was a movie, but it was based on like some real thing. And I do think horses have that level of sensitivity. And like I said, that's what makes them cool. And in the wrong situation, it can make them dangerous.
I grew up being around horses, and a lot of those things, like getting kicked in the head, you had to put your head where the foot can get you.
Yeah.
Like everything I was originally taught was how not to put my head where the back of that horse can get me. And so some of that, I think, is people get comfortable with their animals and just do the things that they were taught not to do. And then the horse is like, "Who's back there? Bip." It might not even have been you. It may just be that you spooked the horse because suddenly you were somewhere out of nowhere.
Well, so, I think we've probably all seen the viral video of like the cop on his horse and he's doing riot control. And the Antifa chick runs up and fucking slaps the horse to try to like spook the horse so the cop will get thrown, and the horse just freaking like sidekicks her.
Yep.
Like it's like instant karma. It's the second she hits it, bam, and she's out, gone. And you it's like, don't scare a horse, man.
Especially not with a cop on it, because that horse is trained not to let stuff like that happen.
Yep, but it's not trained to not kick you in the fucking head. It's probably actually trained to kick you in the head.
That's what I'm saying.
I knew they could back kick. I didn't like she's on the side of it and she slaps it and it like totally side like just whack.
Oh yeah.
I didn't know they could get that high to the side. I knew they could like get you down in the leg, but it gets her like right in the temple.
Yeah.
This art by Lee Murphy says, "Road horses, 25 years, hundreds of them have some wild stories." I bet. I had a very good friend when I was in cabling. He almost ended up dead. He ended up like, it was like 8 weeks of recovery before he could walk again. And all he was just riding a horse. Somehow he fell under it. It spooked the horse. He got tangled up in the stirrup and it just stomped the shit out of him. And it wasn't doing it vindictively. It was just freaked out.
That is why you're supposed to wear boots with heels so your foot doesn't go through the stirrup.
Yeah. I'm not sure what happened to him. His name was Russell. But yeah, that's he got rustled. Russell got rustled.
Yeah.
Well, that's a guy with no arms, no legs, and the leaves, Russell. Come on, that's 80s Gen Z humor, man.
That's totally great.
That's a man with no arms, no legs in front of the door, Matt.
Matt.
No arms, no legs in the water, Bob.
I remember those.
We were evil kids, man. Like, that's really, you know, saying it now, it's funny, you're an old man and stuff, whatever. Like, we were saying that shit when we were like 14 years old. We're a demented generation, guys. We really are.
And we say we were more demented than other generations, but were we?
I don't know, man. That's pretty hardcore right there. And I know you remember that.
Oh, I totally remember it. Well, the other thing is, like, pick on one of us and the rest of us appear. That's the other thing that happened in Gen X that maybe doesn't happen as much now.
I'm not sure about that because I don't know because we homeschool our grandkids. But, like, I know, like, when I was in school, like, if you were on a team, like a wrestling team or a football team or whatever, you could be the shittiest person on that team, and that team would fuck with you all the time. God help the person that said a word to you that wasn't part of that fucking team.
Yeah.
I didn't see you there on Saturday, fuckface. What are you doing talking to him? You don't even talk to him. Like, that was the response immediately.
Yeah, we can say whatever we want about each other, but you can't.
Yeah, we're part of a group. Jack. What's that?
What do you call a guy with no arms or legs under a car? Jack.
Jack.
We had all the baby jokes, the baby in the microwave, the baby with the scabs, and the baby with the razor blades.
Yeah, there was the dead baby jokes, too. We don't need to go there. I mean, I remember Scholastic book fairs?
Yep.
I remember buying a book at a Scholastic book fair for kids, 100 uses for a dead cat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like the cat was like a tennis racket and shit. Like, yes, no, I think to your question, now that I think about it, to me, it's always just been a joke, but no, I do think we were the most demented generation.
Yeah, that was fourth and fifth grade.
Yes. Yeah, that was Scholastic book fairs. You didn't do that shit when you were in high school. That was grade school.
Yep. You used to go in and write my posters. LSD.
Yeah, we had all our boomer parents that were coming down off their LSD trips and are like, yeah, they'll like this. This
will be funny for kids. This will be funny
for kids. Oh, because they had those books, too, the Choose Your Own Adventure books, and, like, you would die horrible deaths in those books, too, right? Yep. Like, and we had the real Ant and the Grasshopper where the fucking grasshopper dies, right? We had the real Aesop's Fables where, like, Hansel and Gretel get fucking eaten by the witch. It wasn't like that everybody lived happy. No, that's a fairy tale. This was the fairy tale Grimm, right? We had the real ones. Maybe we need to bring that shit back. I don't know. Like,
I think it's coming back.
As parents, we sort of coddled these kids a little bit, and maybe that's why, because it was like, no, they don't need this. Holy crap, yeah. I've always said the reason we don't look so stupid in our teenage and early 20s is because we didn't have social media.
There are pictures
in places of some of us doing some things, but they're few and far between, and they're hard copies. They're not digital, and there's not 100 a day being generated. Like, I don't know if anything we did as dumb as the Tide Pod Challenge, but I'm pretty sure we did. Like, I think they were more like individual stupidity rather than like mass group psychosis stupidity.
Yeah, we did a thing where you made people pass out.
Okay.
Like, cutting off the blood flow to their head.
In third grade.
Yeah, that was a big one, and that could have ended terribly. But never did in my group. What else? The mirror. What was it? Something Mary, I think.
Oh, Bloody Mary.
Bloody Mary.
Bloody Mary.
Yeah.
Serenade 3 times and she'll come. We did a little harmless shit, too, that was also kind of sick and demented. Like, we used to have a thing called a sissy test. The sissy test was you let somebody else take a pencil's eraser and go back and forth 100 times on the back of your hand.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Remember that? The sissy test. And then there was the thing, like, once people started to grow hair, you would fuck with somebody, you get them to, like, make their arm like this. and you just roll real fast circles, and all their arm hair twists together and ties their hairs together. On. We did a lot of dumb shit, and it all involved pain for other people. We're not a very empathic generation. We're really not.
No. Well, I mean, I am about, like, legitimate gripes, though. It's just most gripes are not legitimate.
Scott says, be careful. You guys are going to be walking uphill both ways to school soon. No, these are all actual things. That's the scary shit here. This is not nothing we are saying is an exaggeration. Nothing didn't happen, and none of it was uncommon. This was right. Just who we were. We were bored.
Like, Jack grew up in Pennsylvania. I grew up in Oregon, and we were doing the same stuff.
And so. I did my grade school down in Florida, and I was in Catholic school, and we did this shit in Catholic school.
This one I never did.
What's that? Liquid nitrogen sticking hands to rock. No, I don't know that one.
I wouldn't have done it. I would have been like, I know what's going to happen. And
No, that's not. I wouldn't have done that. That one wouldn't have got me. No. But we did do some dumb shit, man.
Here's a question. What will you all do when Bitcoin is over a million? You no longer need to work, but are you doing exactly what you want?
Yeah, I would not do it. You know, I might do one less show a week. I might have fuck-offs Mondays and Fridays. I don't know. But I honestly, even with three-day weekend now, I get a little bit bored. Like right now, I'm not bored. Right now, I'm like, I wish I wasn't doing this because I have shit that needs to be done for spring. But, like, most of the year, if I'm not doing my show, like, I'm just sitting around. Like, I want something to do that matters.
John, would you answer that question? I think the real question has nothing to do with Bitcoin.
No.
Absolutely don't have to make money. Would you change anything you're doing at this point?
Is there a check I could write you, John, for enough money that you would just quit?
I don't know what I would do. I mean,
see, that's it, right?
Like the whole building gear thing, right? I started this company when I was 17 years old. I'm 53. I did this for a long time for free before I ever made any money doing it. And I never made real money until I was on CNN 3 days in a row. And that's when I actually broke 100. I'd never broke 100,000 in a year.
Oh, wow.
And once I was on CNN, I did over a million in a 90-day period because of the publicity from the CNN stuff. And that's why I was out on bail for 24 months prior to going to prison. But social media is where money really started. Like, to make $1 million in a month, that's social media. Like, we couldn't do it. Like, I used to joke. I'm like, man, we did all this before there ever was an internet. You guys have it so easy. But then somebody pointed out, you know, we really did do this before there was internet. You had to send a letter, and you had to pick up a phone, and you had to send me a check, and we had to cash the check. And sometimes the bank wouldn't give us the money for the check for 30 days, you know. Like, we did business before we ever had any credit card processing. Nowadays, you guys have it so easy. You can run credit cards 100 different ways on this phone. We used to have to run a credit check, and a lot of times they wouldn't give us a credit card processing machine.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I know. I answered that question 2 weeks ago when I was out of town for a week, because I was in a situation where most of the work I do was not possible to be done, which gave me more free time than usual. And I sat down at the piano and played music. And I realized I'm not building time for music. And then the only way that time comes in is if I allocate time. So that's, you know, that's something that will happen in the next couple of years. Because I was like, I actually really like doing this.
Yeah, no matter how much money somebody has, I'm still going to start another business. It's just that it's the chase. It's the challenge. And then you figure out how to monetize it.
I just say, like, if somebody ever got in that state where, like, somebody wrote you a check for $100 million and I'm going to go do another business for something to do, take, like, $20 million, put it into a trust fund that pays you so you never be penniless, and then go do what you want with the other $80
million. Yeah.
Like, make sure your life is set up. I wouldn't quit. Bitcoin at $1 million doesn't change my life, frankly, at all.
Yeah.
It doesn't. It changes my retirement, not my life.
I have a scar on the tip of my nose from BB Gun Wars. I shot Mike Wilson's tooth out. I shot Mike Williams in the shoulder. We've popped many BBs out of my shoulders. Like, and we didn't even wear glasses. Like, we didn't have iPro or anything. And there's the one pump rule until you get hit, and then you're pumping the gun up.
That's the escalation war.
Yeah,
right?
And we, like, and
once
we never
go, then we just see who's gonna stop.
Yeah, we didn't have this. It's long before paintballs. We had the police helicopter and the San Diego SWAT team called twice for playing BB gun wars in San Diego.
Our brutal wars were not BB guns. They were apples.
Pine cones.
Apples.
We had magnolias. So you pop that top like a grenade and you throw that seed pod.
So the thing with an apple, and my dad's responsible for this. So we were out shooting slingshots or some shit, and he comes out and he takes a machete and he cuts down a sapling about 6 foot long, like a bait casting rod, and makes a point on it. He just picks up one of the apples from the windfall apples off the tree, sticks it on there, and we're shooting at this coffee can. And this coffee can's about 25 yards away. He takes this fucking stick and goes, whoom. And the apple just smacks this coffee can off the stump. And all my friends and I just look at each other. He just hands us the stick and walks away. 2 weeks later, we've got rules of engagement. We've got everything worked out. Everybody's got like 5 5-gallon buckets of fucking apples. And we're on the two opposing stripping banks, about 75 yards apart, wailing each other with apples. And if you got hit with one like in the leg, it left like a freaking black and blue mark the size of like a tennis ball on you. And then, like, when you run out of apples, you're trying to pick the ones up that are still good that they threw at you and throw them back. Like, that was – but I think we're better for it. I do. Yeah. I think, like, you know, when somebody says you have to work overtime and you've had your shit beaten down by apples in the face, overtime's not that big a deal.
At least I'm not being pummeled with apples.
I'm not being pummeled with apples, shot with a BB gun, sissy tested with fucking eraser.
The sissy test.
What the hell was wrong with us? I think we were bored.
Yeah. But we had to find a way to entertain ourselves because there were not, like, we didn't even have a TV at my house, but other people had a TV with 3 channels.
But you were bored and you had to find something to do because if you told your parents you were bored?
Yeah.
That was not smart. You only did that once.
Yeah. That's a bad idea.
You worked like a slave laborer for a day if you said you were bored. Oh, you're bored. Oh, okay.
Yeah, we can unboard. We can unboard you.
Unboard you. Unboard. That was a word for us too. Unboard. Not enough chores. We had plenty of chores. We just, when you got done with them and you were bored, you went and found something else to do, like hurt each other because, like, you know, that's what you did. We did some dumb shit. You know what we did? What we created is not us particularly, but as a generation, we created some dumb shit. Breakdancing. We created that. That's our fault. That shit that happened in the Olympics, if it wasn't for this generation, never would have happened. White kids wearing parachute pants spinning around in cardboard. Yeah.
carrying cardboard to school and linoleum.
We thought we were all street, you know. Okay. We were literally Malibu's most wanted before it happened.
Yeah. Oh, the good old days.
Osage Orange. Yeah, those would hurt.
Yeah, those would hurt.
They're a little bit too big for the apple ladle. That was the name we came up for, the apple ladle.
The biggest problem with the youth today is the lack of boredom. That's not untrue.
We'll go over to my nephew's house, and he's got his kids now. You know, one's like 18, the other one's like 14. My grandson's 14. That's crazy. And there'll be some other kids over there, and they're all sitting like on the couch. And they're all on their phones, but they're texting each other.
That's what I walk out. I'm like, you homos texting each other.
Like, you're right there. Yeah, but it's different. All right, man. Whatever. Like, do you know how much trouble we would have gotten or how much trouble we would have avoided getting in, Nicole, if we had texting? Could you see what Gen X would have done with texting technology? The planning that we did were like fucking military operations. If you'd given us high technology.
And we'd have had our stories over. Straight. We'd have had
there
our stories
would have been taken over.
That's
there would
right.
have been like Lord of the Flies shit going on in high schools and stuff. Like, it would have been bad.
But we needed the years without it for that to happen.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we were not the right generation to hand technology like that to. We would have fucked some shit up.
100%.
Or it would have fucked us up and ruined it for us. I don't know which one it would have been.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If we would have had the technology, we wouldn't have needed to have such good precision planning skills.
I see what you're saying, yeah.
And so we needed the lack of that to have all the codes and the ways to get information to each other in other ways.
Yeah, yeah.
Which then meant you had to be able to boil things down in a way that was efficient to communicate it, which is a problem now.
Yeah, because now you don't.
No. And people send me sentences that aren't sentences and questions that aren't questions.
I probably do that.
No, you don't.
There's like three words missing, so I don't understand what you're asking.
No, John's a good communicator, and he just uses voice to text, and so every so often a word rhymes with.
Well, that happens.
But that's okay. I got that. I'm fluent in that language. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Dopamine's just a click away. No Apple launcher needed. It's too bad. Everybody should get hit with an apple. It should be a rite of passage.
Or a pine cone. Pine cones leave a pattern on your cheek. Ask me how I know.
Pine cones hurt, but they're hard to throw because you can't get a good grip because they hurt you back.
You know those tight ones?
Oh, the ones that aren't open. Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. You got some weight there. You can throw that fucker like a football. Fat end forward, by the way. Like, it's like a dart.
We have varieties of pine cones in the Pacific Northwest.
We had those giant ass ones that always open.
Yeah, no.
They're like that big. And like, the problem is you can't get any distance on them. They don't weigh enough. But when they fall out of a tree and hit you in the fucking head, they hurt. Yep. Like a pound.
All right.
I think we've worn it out hard.
I think we are at the end of our show. So thanks for joining me guys today. It is my 1,000th episode today. So what better way to spend that time than with the two of you? If you guys want to find out more about me, go to livingfreeintennessee.com for my podcast. And if you want to try some of the K-Cups we talked about earlier, I've got a new batch coming in. John, I have more coming to you, actually. Nice. And that's over at hollerroast.com. Just click on the shop and you will see the K-Cups. They are phenomenal and very fresh. Jack, what do you got for us?
Today, I have for you these little pieces of rope with clips on them. And what they're for, they're made by a company called Zazzy. They are for hanging your lights for your plants because it is the time of year to be starting your plants. And even with good grow lights, like I recommend, it's a good idea to get them close to your plants. And as your plants grow, they need to come up. These make it really easy. And you can get a whole big giant set of them for about $1 a piece. You get 18 of them for $18. And you can find them at thesurvivalpodcast.com or tspaz.com.
John, what do you got?
SOE Tactical Gear. That's our website, soetacticalgear.com. I do a live video every night at 9 o'clock on YouTube. You can join in, and we can have a conversation about anything you want. Real quick, Builder Castle said, would you ever start a business that you could never sell? I don't intend to ever sell my business. I didn't ever start a business with the intention of selling it, and I've started several businesses, so I guess my answer is yes.
I'll just say I don't think there's such thing as a viable business that can't be sold. Peter McCormack, who ran the podcast What Bitcoin Did, if there was ever a business you'd think you couldn't sell, it would be a podcast because you are the podcast. He sold it. If you can sell that, what can't you sell?
Yep. Yeah. I just don't worry about if I can sell it.
No, I don't either.
I'm worried about if I can build more revenue right now.
That's MBA bullshit. Like, you just go into business just to make a business just to sell it off. Like, if that's your bag, go do that. But, bro, you've asked enough questions that I know that's not you. So don't worry about it. Just go build a business. Then you can figure out if you need to sell it or not.
Build your castle, builder.
Build your castle. Build your business, man. Yeah.
All right. We'll see you guys next month.
See you guys.
Take care. They said you should have a house the American way. $1 down, $1 a month. And you never have to pay. There's a better way to do this. Let me show you a better way.